Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now we're going to talk with Dr. Gary Kass. Here's the question at issue. Does Romans 13 teach absolute obedience to the authorities in all circumstances? Well, we're going to get a theological understanding on the Kim Davis story provided by Dr. Gary Kass of DefendChristians.org. Gary is the president of the Christian Anti-Defamation Commission. Gary, welcome back to the program.
Hey, Jerry. Good to talk with you.
Sure. So I understand that you've been having some sort of Facebook or social media dialogue on the subject of should Christians obey the government in all circumstances, including issuing same-sex marriage licenses now that the Supreme Court has spoken. So give us your take on the whole Kim Davis story.
Well, and Jerry, this is not unique to this particular story. This comes up time and time again as we're working through the secularization process of our nation and how this impacts us as Christians who are in subordination to the Word of God. And I want to be charitable in my assumptions. I don't think that the people that are advocating what I believe is a very unbiblical position are doing it insincerely. I think they're sincere, but I think they're sincerely wrong, and I don't think they've benefited from any instruction in this area, because candidly, we've been blessed to pretty much not have to think about these things. We've been enjoying a life under the umbrella of great Christian jurisprudence that we've inherited. We haven't had to ferret it out for ourselves. But the truth is, these truths that we're going to talk about are truths that have been around for centuries, and I think we just need to go back and touch on them. And I want to first say it's not just my opinion, and I'm going to share with you some resources and some source documents that I would encourage your listeners to consult. Don't take my word for it. Also, I want us to say, you know, ask the most important question: is it biblical? And so, there is a doctrine that has some terms associated with it. Might sound a little strange to some people because they haven't heard of it, but it's been there for hundreds of years, as I've said. One is called the doctrine of interposition. Interposition, or maybe a better dynamic equivalent for our day would be kind of the doctrine of intervention. So there's that, if you will, category. And then there's another term that we're not used to hearing about, but if they were to just simply do a little bit of research under the idea of what's called the lesser magistrate. And what does that mean? Magistrate basically means a civil authority, whether that person is elected or whether that person is appointed. A magistrate, therefore, has civil political authority. A lesser magistrate is generally considered somebody less than, if you will, the president or somebody who has lower jurisdiction. They may not be the president of the United States. They may not be the Congress of the United States, but they may have state authority. They might have authority in a county, like we see in the situation in Kentucky. Mm-hmm. They might have authority on a city level, but they are elected or appointed, and they have jurisdictions. They're not the big, most important magistrate. They're the lesser magistrates. So under those two rubrics, you can find a lot of really good information just by a simple Google search. But the concepts are not hard. It's very simple. Let me just give you kind of a working definition. The doctrine of the lesser magistrate basically goes like this. When a higher-ranking civil authority makes unjust, immoral law or policies, or if you will, court rulings, the lower or lesser ranking civil authority has both the right, and this is important, and the duty to interpose or intervene and refuse to obey the higher authority. If necessary, the lower magistrates may actively resist superior authority. Now, that's simple conceptually, but it's kind of hard for us as Christians because I think the first objection we think of, well, aren't we supposed to be in submission to authority? Well, absolutely, but not submission to unlawful authority. In the military, you are not obligated to obey an unlawful order, and so it is in the civil realm. We are not obligated to obey unjust rulings from courts, unjust laws from states or from the Congress. And it is not only our right, but it is our duty before God to resist injustice. And so Western civilization has been predicated on this notion that all law, for it to be true law, has to conform to the canons of justice. And where would we find the standards for justice? Well, it's God's law. And so when somebody, no matter who they are, the president, the Congress, the Supreme Court, whoever, says you need to violate God's law, we have not only the right but the duty to resist them.
Okay,
and
let me
a Christian and a virtuous thing.
All right, let me back up a little bit and just tell me the kind of tenor of the dialogue that you're getting. What kind of feedback are you getting? Are you getting professed Christians who are condemning Davis? Tell us about this.
They're sincere believers. They're conflicted because they read Romans 13, and that everyone should look at that,
mm-hmm.
and it does say we're to be in submission to those authorities, but that's not all.
And that God has put those authorities over us.
Right. And they are God's ministers. In other words, they are to represent God and his standards of justice. Now, it's just like in the military, if someone gives an unlawful order, you don't obey it. In the home, if the husband, who has been delegated authority, tells the wife or the children to do something that is immoral or illegal, are the wife and the children supposed to obey that authority? No. If an elder in a church who has lawful spiritual authority oversteps the bounds and tries to tell the church or a member of the church to do something that is illegal or unlawful according to God's law, must that member submit to that spiritual authority? Absolutely not. There is no absolute authority in the world, okay? Absolute authority resides in God.
Mm-hmm.
And when human authority, whether it be in the home, whether it be in the church, whether it be in the state, when human authority lines up with God's canons of righteousness and justice, then they are to be obeyed. But when they tell you it's okay to murder innocent preborn children, they are to be disobeyed. When they tell you you are to marry people who are violating God's standards regarding marriage, they are to be disobeyed. And this woman in Kentucky is doing what other, if you will, higher magistrates, governors and mayors and higher authority should have been doing all along. Thank God for Chief Justice Roy Moore in
Alabama.
He
just came to my mind.
Told when the Supreme Court ruling came down, he told him, go pound sand. We're not going to impose sodomite marriage in Alabama.
More than 80% of the people voted.
It's wicked. It's unjust. It's not in conformity with God's law. And on its face, it is not to be obeyed.
All right. Now, let me say this. Okay. I know that there are some today who are trying to say, well, you can actually take the scriptures and so twist them. And they supposedly even believe this to mean that God does approve of same-sex marriage and same-sex relationships and so forth. But you and I know that's just a farce. But what if somebody says, okay, I don't like it when the government tells me I must go 55 miles per hour on this stretch of I-95. I think it would be better if I go 75 miles an hour and fooey on them, I'm going to obey my lower magistrates or whatever. I mean, in other words, they just basically defy the laws of the state and they're not submitting to the rulers that God has put over them. What's your comment to that?
Well, no, you can set a speed limit. Why? I can give you chapter and verse on that. In the
For
Old
safety.
Testament, you had to put fences up on your rooftop. Why? Because the value of human life in the image of God was so high that if you were reckless,
right? So we don't put those fences up today, but we might put up a fence around a swimming pool to prevent a neighbor's child or our own child from falling in and drowning.
Right. If you were on the freeway by yourself and you're going 90 miles an hour, didn't impact anybody else, have go for it.
If the speed limit though is 75 and you're going 90, you can't be serious.
But I'm just saying, theoretically, if you could speed 90 miles an hour and there was nobody that would be impacted, including yourself, but remember, when you're reckless, the Bible forbids self-murder. So there's limits on our behavior.
Okay,
of God's word.
So all right,
you have to, if you can justify it based upon some objective standard in God's word, that's one thing. What we have now is tyranny. We have man-made law being shoved down our throat in clear violation of the scriptures, and Western civilization has never allowed that to happen, going all the way back, to Salzburg, go to Blackstone, go to Augustine, go to Aquinas. No law is really true law if it violates God's law.
All right, now, I will have to disagree with you on that one example you gave about the 90 miles per hour, because
I was making it hypothetically. If you could live your life, you could be out in a world where you live by yourself, where your actions don't impact anybody else. Maybe there's an argument that could be made, but then the argument might be made as well, but you're putting your own life at risk.
Right.
Even if you weren't putting anybody else's at risk, you're putting your own life. Therefore, can there be limits? Yeah, I would say so, but that's a side thing.
Okay, but the heart of this is that if a law comes down that is clearly unjust, clearly in violation of the Bible, then how can you obey it? Now, listen, when the Planned Parenthood video scandal broke a few weeks ago, I got up, brushed off my copy of The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich and reread the part about the medical experimentation.
Mm-hmm.
And Heinrich Himmler, the terrible, SS guy and so forth, he weeded out those who had, consciences from doing those medical experiments. We don't need this. Get rid of these people. They don't need to be a part of this. And, so it's like those people, those Nazis, were clearly violating, every statute one can imagine of God's law, not to mention the very first commandment, I am the Lord your God, you shall have no other gods before me. Heil Hitler. Well, that's praising Hitler as unto a god. Our Führer, who art in Berlin, that kind of thing. That's a violation of everything.
And what did we do to those?
Yeah.
What did we do to them? We tried them, convicted them, and hung them in the Nuremberg trials based upon the law of God.
But they were just obeying orders. Remember? That's what they all said.
They were obeying orders, but they were unlawful orders.
But now, obviously, I'm not calling anybody a Nazi here. We're not saying that same-sex marriage is on the same level as, doing experiments on people and so forth as if they're not human. But it's still the principle applies that we should obey the government when the laws are just, but when the laws clearly violate God's law. So in the case of this Kentucky clerk, she's doing the right thing.
Absolutely. She's doing what every pro-life, so-called pro-life governor should have done. We should just tell this federal government, look, we have abortion laws, and they're just. They're according to Scripture. We cannot deprive anybody of their life without due process. These babies are not getting due process. Our Constitution is right and biblical in that sense, and therefore we tell the federal government, leave us alone. The same thing with marriage. Marriage is between a man and a woman, no matter what demented rulings come out of the imaginations of the Supreme Court. we're not going to honor it. We're going to honor God. We're going to honor the family. We're going to do what's right for kids. And we, and like Chief Justice Moore said, if any of the clerks in Alabama issue same-sex marriages, they will be prosecuted.
Wow.
Because the law of Alabama is clear. You know, courts can make.
And he said he
want,
made that statement.
Pass laws.
He made that statement after the Supreme Court decision of June.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is amazing. You know,
a Supreme Court opinion is nothing but an opinion. They're not a legislature. They can't make anything legal or illegal. All they can do is render opinions.
Well,
it takes
we're
a legislature
treating
and a governor to make a law, and as far as I know, the law in Alabama is still you can't have same-sex marriage.
Wow. Well,
and so the lesser magistrates just got to step up. Now, is there risk? Is there threats? Could there be consequences? Could a tyrant, a tyrannical government, bring force even and jail or threats of fines? They can. And Kim is doing what every lesser magistrate ought to be doing against an increasingly tyrannical statist secular government that is at war with God.
Mm. Wow, this is amazing. Now, you say that you have this is all backed up from theologians from times past. Let's begin with Paul himself. Would Paul feel that you are reading Romans 13 properly here, Gary?
Absolutely. Remember when they tried to, a tyrannical mob tried to rob him of his rights? What did he do? He appealed to justice.
Yeah.
He stood up. He said, hey, you know, are you going to beat a Roman soldier? Heck no.
A Roman citizen. A Roman citizen without due process.
Yeah, you're denying me of justice. We can talk, you know, what about the Hebrew midwives? They intervened.
Yeah.
When an unjust law came down from Pharaoh to kill the male Hebrew boy, children, the Hebrew midwives that we venerate as heroes said, no, that's unjust, we will not do it.
Did you know that those Hebrew midwives, in a sense, gave birth not only to Moses ultimately and to all sorts of wonderful people, but those Hebrew midwives indirectly gave birth to the King James Bible? And the reason why is because the Geneva Bible was the popular Bible in the days of King James, and he hated it, and he hated especially the little commentary notes. It was like the first study Bible in English, in the English language, and there was a study note, for example, in that section about the Hebrew midwives, and it said there are times where, you know, to obey God means to disobey the king or, Pharaoh in this case. And King James didn't like that, and so he wanted
to
replace the Geneva Bible, and ultimately
the Geneva Bible is very seditious if you're a tyrant.
Yeah, exactly, but isn't that interesting? It's an interesting fact of history. Okay, we have just a couple minutes left. How about a comment about St. Augustine or Aquinas or Martin Luther or John Calvin?
You want a John Calvin quote? I know there's a lot of Calvin that we like. And just give a couple of quick biblical examples. The Hebrew midwives, remember when Saul made that rash vow that if anybody eats during this battle, they're going to die. Jonathan inadvertently ate some honey.
Yeah.
He was getting ready to kill his own son, and what happened? The people intervened and said, no, Saul, you're wrong. You're a tyrant. You don't have a right to do that. Remember when Queen Athaliah, tried to kill the heir to the throne? And
they hid one of the sons.
And the Levites interposed and basically executed her. So we could, and there's all sorts of examples in the book of Judges where there has been interposition against injustice. You have to do it carefully. You don't do it haphazardly. Our whole Revolutionary War was the application of the doctrine of interposition after a long train of abuses, after appeals for relief and for our rights to be respected. Even our own representatives eventually had to say, hey, it's time. We have to throw off the tyrant. So,
all right.
Let me give you a quote from John Calvin.
Yeah, we have less than a half a minute, but go ahead.
Well, basically, he says that if the lower magistrate will allow the rights of the people to be trampled upon, Calvin says, I declare that their dissimulation involves nefarious perfidy because they dishonestly betray the freedom of the people of which they have been appointed protectors by God's ordinance. Talking of the lesser magistrate in defying the higher magistrate when the tyrant becomes the enemy of the people, of their property, of their lives, and of their liberties.
Wow. Dr. Gary Kass, again, defendchristians.org for more information. Thank you so much for joining us. God bless you.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you.